Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Basically, the glue and the rubber bands, the spit arguably is just hype that everything's going to be okay. And the glue and the rubber bands are debt. We have a debt-based economy and war. The manufacturing of weapons of mass destruction, weapons of death.
Tom Hartman, live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
It would be very dangerous to wait until February.
Publisher Keith Crane at Automotive News making the case for an automaker's bailout from Washington. Florida Democrat Senator Bill Nelson opposes a bailout but would be willing to work out some loans.
We cannot simply provide our automakers with enough cash to continue their current operations for another 3 months or even another six. We must instead put them on a path that leads to global competitiveness.
Some say there have to be strings that force positive, beneficial changes for the money. Sam Kasman at the Competitive Enterprise Institute says don't be afraid of Chapter 11.
Bankruptcy is not necessarily the end. Quite often it produces some results that are so good it's hard to believe.
All that cheering and applause and joy came from both sides of the political aisle today in the Senate as Ted Kennedy came back to work, saying he's ready to do some work on the auto bailout plan. There is still the brain cancer. He's still fighting the good fight. Today brought the second round of disbursements to 21 big banks in the financial services bailout. Treasury issued more than $33.5 billion more dollars. Not soon enough to save 53,000 jobs at Citigroup or the executive bonuses at a list of big banks.
Citicorp, a big assembled company, has been withering along with many others, but certainly this is unprecedented in its size.
That's John Challenger, CEO of the outplacement firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. He says it's just another sign how deep the economic problems in the country are. On Wall Street, the Dow lost nearly 224 points today. The Nasdaq was off almost 35, and oil closed just below $56 a barrel. The expectation is no more teenagers for the safe haven law in Nebraska. Lawmakers are trying to work out new language to protect the newborns, maybe up to a year old, but parents of older kids won't be able to dump them at the hospital when they're done with the new law.
We've heard from a doctor today at an Omaha hospital talking about what it's like when a mother comes in with a child that she wants to drop off under the safe haven law. She says she's seen some children just act cold and distant. On the other hand, other children have actually cried to their mothers saying, "I'll be good, I promise."
That's reporter Terry James in Lincoln, Nebraska. How hard would it be to lose everything you have to a wildfire? A
lot of memories. All my children were raised here. We moved in May of 1989, so almost 20 years. The house is a total loss, unfortunately.
John Schrader in Yorba Linda, California. His family, one of well more than 800 households who lost their homes to the flames. The battle, by the way, goes fairly well today because the wind is down and most of the fires are being contained. This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms prior to enrollment.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-5168. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how by calling for this valuable free information the credit card companies don't want you to know. Call Credit Answers at 1-800-400-5168. That's 1-800-400-5168. 1-800-400-5168.
There is emerging new technology designed to take the radio traffic report one step farther. What if your car could communicate with the cars all around it and suggest a way around the mess coming up just around the bend?
The raw information comes from a combination of what are called vehicular probes on things like taxis and other cars, but fundamentally it comes from the users themselves, like an iPhone or a BlackBerry.
MIT professor Hari Balakrishnan on the Cartel project. The man found unconscious in a Vegas hotel room a couple of years ago with deadly ricin in his room is going to prison. Roger Bergendorf said he never intended to hurt anyone and claimed he distilled this nerve agent from the beans of a backyard castor plant in 1998 and just kept it with him whenever he moved. He took that stuff to Reno, to Salt Lake City, and Las Vegas. 3.5 years in prison is the sentence. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Nibble, nosh, savor, devour.
Kim, what are you talking about?
What I'm going to do with the holiday taste of Sam's Club.
Holiday taste of?
Sam's Club, where I can sample the perfect holiday meal before I host my own. Lobster ravioli, spiral glazed ham, decadent chocolate layer cake.
Ooh.
Live chef events, too.
Don't miss the holiday taste of Sam's Club. Friday, November 21st through Sunday, November 23rd, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a member? Join during the event and receive a $10 gift card. Restrictions apply. See club for details.
When shopping for holiday gadgets, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Mark's Google page with Yahoo and brought a mall Santa along for the ride.
Ho, ho, ho!
Man, I'm sick of mall Santas.
Ho!
You'll never get tired of how Yahoo Search helps you shop. Type a gift like digital camera.
Hey, there's popular brands, ratings, buyer's guides, all at the top of the page.
It's a miracle on... Oh, what street are we on?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at Yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. The B stands for bailout. Still waiting for mine. Detroit wants one. And what is the latest version of the bailout, Hank Paulson? Huh?
Sometimes you start feeling so lost and lonely. Then you find it's all been in your mind. Sometimes you think someone is the one and only.
Right, Joe Jackson, you can't get what you want.
You know what you want
until you know what you want.
You can't get what you want until you know what you want.
In a moment, Chuck Collins, no relation to your humble host, will join us from United for a Fair Economy. We'll talk about the situation with the bailout. Later this hour, a fresh report on prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. It's sad, it's ugly, it's un-American. And you've got to know about it because Barack Obama renewed his commitment on television Sunday night to closing Gitmo. We're going to hold him to that. And when you hear the stories from those who've been detained there, you'll understand. Also, that's Laurel Fletcher, by the way, is going to join as co-author of this new report from the University of California at Berkeley about those who've been held at Guantanamo Bay. Next hour, Cliff Schechter returns. He's the author of The Real McCain. We'll talk about John McCain's love fest with Barack Obama. They met in Chicago earlier today. Also, the prospects of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton and an effort to keep Joe Lieberman out of the Democratic caucus. We'll talk with Cliff about that about an hour from now. And then you may feel safer because there are air marshals on many U.S. airliners. And when you hear the stories about air marshals gone wild, I think you'll rethink that. Mike Grabel, I think that's how he says his name, will join us. He's a reporter at ProPublica.org, the new independent nonprofit investigative journalism site. That's all ahead, plus plenty of room for your phone calls now and in the free speech zone in our third hour. My toll-free number works. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my email works, too. That's Peter at peterbcollins.com. Chuck Collins is the co-founder, program director of United for a Fair Economy that started back in 95. He also co-founded Responsible Wealth. That's rich people who are pro-death tax. That's not the way he calls it, but that's the way it would be described by its critics. And he joins us today. Chuck Collins, welcome to our program.
Hey, Peter. Great to be with you.
Good to talk to you again. How's it going?
Good. Good. I have a new handle. I'm at the Institute for Policy Studies now.
But, oh, you're at IPS. Well, we better update our records here.
Yeah.
I used an old bio.
Still doing similar work on inequality and billionaires for the death tax. Yep.
Uh-huh. So. Okay, good. Well, Phyllis Bennis of IPS is going to be joining us on Wednesday on our program.
Wow.
We have a lot of great people there.
Yes, we do. We have a great team.
So, Chuck, I broke down and did it over the weekend. I was cleaning up my home office, and I cracked open the statement from Charles Schwab.
Ooh.
On my
Ooh.
IRA.
You have a lot of courage there.
Oh, I regret it now because I know the extent of the damage. And a couple of years ago, I decided I'm not really a good investor. I never know when to sell. So I handed over my IRA account to a professional. And he's done a good job. He diversified me into safe mutual funds. And nonetheless, 37% is the reduction in the value of that one IRA account.
Wow.
And I know that that's, you know, I'm in better shape than many people who may have seen their retirement or their savings wiped out. I talked to my oldest brother today. He retired 3 years ago. He's got to go back to work. And he predicts he might have to work for 5 to 7 years, hoping that what's left of his portfolio will recover.
Yep.
So those are just my personal snapshots. And as we look at the status of the bailout, stunning news from Washington today, Senator James Inhofe, who is a nut, if you ask me, particularly when it comes to climate change issues, he's in deep denial. But he's one of those people who opposed the original bailout, and he now wants to freeze it. And our friend Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont, says he will introduce legislation to stop the release of the second $350 billion in the Wall Street bailout. Now, on the one hand, I'm glad to see that Congress is asserting itself. They are angry because there is no oversight of what Paulson is doing. The paltry oversight provisions that were added to the legislation, and Democrats crowed about it, haven't even been initiated. The panel that's supposed to be overseeing this does not have one member so far, Chuck.
That's right. Yeah.
So this seems to throw a spanner in the gears, as the British might say. But on one hand, I applaud it because we've got to get back in control of this.
Well, I applaud it too. I mean, it's sort of like you take a deregulation Bush government, you add the sort of toxic hands-off looting mentality, and this is what we get. And I think until there's some adults in charge here who know what they're doing, we shouldn't hand any money to the Treasury Department.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a plan. I mean, they're just casting about. And now it's like, oh, you know, the lobbyists are lining up. Can we have a piece of the $700 billion for the, you know, the Mobile Home Manufacturers Association of America? And, you know, next, you know, it's just the airlines. I mean, when's it going to stop? And there's got to be a strategy here.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you intervene to make a difference?
Well, and Chuck, let's go back to 9/11. Airliners were used as weapons. The airlines suffered huge setbacks. And the government came and gave them some money to help them through that difficult time. Nonetheless, we saw a wave of airline bankruptcies in the ensuing years. And my feeling is that I don't want to see Detroit crumble. I don't want to see General Motors go under and take up to 3 million workers, you know, in its entire supply chain down with it. At the same time, I have to believe that there's a core viable business there. And if we observe the basic fundamentals of capitalism and let General Motors go into bankruptcy, it will emerge in some smaller form as a healthy company. But no matter how much money we throw at it, they will simply use it to preserve the status quo.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Detroit. One of my first jobs was as a UAW worker in a Detroit you know, in a GM plant. Unfortunately, I mean, these are dinosaur managers. They have fought change every step of the way. They do not know how to get out in front of a trend if they saw it coming. And it's going to require either, just as you say, things to completely bottom out, go into bankruptcy, restructuring, or a U.S. government intervention at a level that we haven't seen in a long time, which is to actually come in and replace management and kind of impose the sort of structural adjustment conditions we might, you know, put on a small debtor nation to just completely restructure their business model.
Well, we're going to nationalize it, right? I mean, it may be temporary, but we will nationalize. There will essentially be government management of one of these companies if they accept the bailout money in terms.
Yeah, I mean, the worst case is we give them the money without asserting the public interest and controlling it. So it's essentially that. We should quasi-nationalize the automobile industry for a couple of years, put investments in it that can help them restructure. It means the dinosaur mentality has to be moved out. And, you know, in some ways we have to make rapid changes in the next 3 years anyway in terms of our energy system. So it's going to require some strong intervention in a way we haven't seen in decades.
Well, forgive me for asking, but is Lee Iacocca still with us?
He is still alive. He actually, it's funny you should mention that. He just wrote a book called Where Have All the Leaders Gone?
Uh-huh.
And if you open it up and read it, it is one of the most poetic, damning rants that you've ever heard. It's quite a thoughtful thing. So he's still with us. I think he's like 83, 84.
Yeah.
But, boy, he...
Can we get him some tights and a Superman cape and have him fly back to the rescue?
I think he'd be willing to be an advisor. I mean, Paul Volcker's kicking around. What the heck? Volcker, Iacocca, let's bring back the late 70s.
Oh, man. Well,
not exactly.
I mean, part of the problem here is that it's hard for me at this point to say, oh, yeah, there's great management talent at the second layer of General Motors or Chrysler, just ready to step up, take over, and kick the dinosaurs out and really move forward. But I have to believe that most of them are, they got, you know, motor oil in their veins.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's some interesting proposals to do what you could call bottom-up bailouts, which is instead of just handing the cash over to the airlines or the auto industry, you say every citizen gets a $100 travel voucher and a $500 automobile voucher that they can use toward a car that gets over, you know, 35 miles a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can trade and barter and give them to your neighbor or give them to your kid. And, you know, you have this sort of bottom-up stimulus based on what it is people really want. So instead of me having to, you know, suffer more abuse from the airlines, I'll remember which airlines, you know, crossed me, left me sitting in that chair overnight, you know, and I'm not going to take my voucher there. And it's a sort of bottom-up consumer way of stimulating demand and putting money and putting our taxpayer money in circulation from the bottom up. It's just it's a different way of looking at how to stimulate the economy and actually help these industries.
Well, Chuck, I'm glad you mentioned that. I need to take a break, and when we return, I want to talk about the original plan that many of us put forward, a bottom-up approach to the mortgage crisis that would identify the bad loans, cancel those contracts, and essentially remove large portions of the virus from our economic system. We'll pick up there as we continue. Chuck Collins, now at IPS, the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington. We'll take a break, and if you have a question or comment, now's the time to call. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
And protect your investment. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate.
Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Our music of the moment on the Peter B. Collins Show from that one-hit wonder, Chumbawamba. The song's called Amnesia. And apparently, Hank Paulson thinks we do suffer from short-term memory loss. It was only September when he said, give me $700 billion or the market will melt down. And the original demand note, Chuck Collins, came complete with unfettered freedom for Hank Paulson to make every decision. He could not be sued. He could not be overseen. No second-guessing. And Congress did insert some language there to create this oversight committee that, as I mentioned earlier, has not been formed. But we originally were talking about a combination of helping the banks and a bottom-up approach. And you talked about that in terms of the auto industry, and I think that's an interesting idea. But we still are sitting on this mortgage mess. The housing equity market has not bottomed out. People aren't buying houses because they don't want to be the schlub who paid too much 6 months early. And so until we really deal with the underlying virus in the mortgages, Chuck, are we going to get anywhere?
No, I mean, top of the list, we need to do what they call foreclosure mitigation. just get in there and do these workouts, restructure these mortgages, make them long-term fixed-rate mortgages. The costs, when somebody is, like, foreclosed and loses their home, the cost to them and the rest of us of them rebuilding their lives, it's such a setback. I mean, it's like becoming homeless.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, people are becoming homeless. So it's just it's a no-win. These are folks who want to stay in their home. They want to stay in their community. Their kids want to stay in the local schools. It makes every bit of sense if we're going to help Wall Street to keep people in their houses.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are paying, you know, predatory interest rates. Should just be writing them down and restructuring them so people can stay.
The other thing, Chuck, that's been going on is while they had the $700 billion demand over here, they arbitrarily, unilaterally, and perhaps illegally changed an accounting rule in the tax code that's a $140 billion gift to banks that buy other banks. And now, according to BailoutSleuth.com and Bloomberg News, Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke is refusing to release the names of recipients of up to $2 trillion in Treasury loans that have gone out since in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, this is stunning, and this could bankrupt our government, couldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this it sort of reminds me of, these countries where the dictators loot the country in the last days of their regime.
The Marcos? Know, like, say the Marcos model?
Marcos or Mobutu or something. I mean,
yeah.
It's sort of like the Bush looting phase, you know. Even Mexico used to be the last year of the presidency. The president looted the treasury. You know,
mm-hmm.
Whoa, look what's going on. I mean, this is where I think the Inhofe-Sanders proposal, you know, stop until there's a new regime that's going to oversee this properly. I mean,
mm-hmm.
On the one hand, we can't wait. But on the other hand, we can't afford to have suffer trillions of dollars of looting in the final days of the Bush administration.
Now, Chuck, the other thing that I think there's a screaming need for is this would be reform squared, but we need to re-reform the bankruptcy laws. They were tightened up a few years ago during the easy credit time, and we just had a new record set, 108,000 people declared bankruptcy in the month of October alone, and that's under these more draconian standards. If we're going to give these kinds of gifts to Wall Street, we've got to take pressure off John and Sally Q. Public.
Absolutely. Those bankruptcy laws are written by the credit card industry largely. And
supported by Joe Biden, let's be fair.
Supported by lots of Democrats. I think 75 members of the Senate voted for those. Hillary Clinton, you know. So
mm-hmm.
It was a bipartisan piece of legislation. But these are clamping down. These are tightening the noose around a lot of people. And I'm here, I live here in New England. Where people are going to be making the choice this winter between heating and eating,
yeah,
and to be to have no recourse in terms of bankruptcy, health emergencies, health costs. That's what drives people to the edge,
mm-hmm.
not profligate spending. It's a lot of these basic needs.
Yeah. Well, and it looks like we're going to have a Dickens Christmas. And that things will get much worse before they get better. I don't like to be a gloom and doom guy, but I can't predict much else right now.
No, it's interesting. You know, in the Boston area, there are a lot of churches are forming what they call common security clubs. People are coming together. They're learning about what's going on because you know we need to understand these trends. They're sitting together, opening up their envelopes, just like you did over the weekend, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're looking at their credit card debt and how to get out of that. They're talking about what are the things we can do together to increase our economic security. Because we've lived in such an individualistic time that people are living alone, suffering through this alone.
Yeah.
In isolation and in fear, and it's really an important time to come together and talk about it. It's not, you know, if there are structural things in the economy that pushed billions and trillions of dollars of debt out the door and onto our balance sheets, if you
yeah.
will, we need to work together to not only help each other, but change the rules, change the public policy.
Chuck
like
Collins at the Institute for Policy Studies. Thanks, Chuck. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. 163 years of financial strength helps ensure your loved ones will always be taken care of. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. And by the Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. The three wildfires in Southern California have been devastating, although some progress is reported now that the heaviest Santa Ana winds have abated. Something is going on there that is frightening, says Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
This is not anymore a fire season in the fall like we usually have had, but there's fire season all year round. I think it is because of the weather change, the climate change. I think all of this has an effect, and we have to be ready for it.
More after this. The most common cause of blindness in people age 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. If you aren't seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away. Early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Guys, the men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. Right now, get what you need before you start buying gifts for all the other people in your life. They've got a sale made just for you with great prices on all your favorite brands like Dockers, Izod, Van Heusen, Levi's, Haggard, St. John's Bay, and Stafford. Plus, get great deals on shirts, jackets, pants, jeans, and dress clothes. Style, quality, and price matter. Every day matters. JCPenney.
The red clouds of fire retardant in the hills of Southern California come from DC-10s dropped in 1,000-gallon bursts. They are a signal the government is fighting those fires, but to Timothy Englesby, head of an environmental group called Firefighters United for Safety, Ethics, and Ecology, they signal something else.
The cost of wildfire suppression is spiraling out of control. It's like showing the flag, demonstrating that the government is doing something to the fire and allaying a lot of the public's fears.
It's not pointless at all, firefighters say.
That fire retardant material really can cover a very large area, much larger than ground forces could cover in that same amount of time. So this is really an effective material, that's very, very important to wildland firefighters.
Who are there? Thousands of them on the ground.
Men and women are holding up very well. We're working 24 to 36 hour shifts, very arduous work.
That is state government policy, says Governor Schwarzenegger.
We're going to go in there and we're going to help. This is our job.
Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa says his heart goes out to the many who've lost their homes.
Many of these people were elderly. Some were disabled. A lot of them were on fixed incomes. They don't have a home anymore.
Susan Wall lost her home.
Surreal. It's like a nightmare. I woke up this morning and I just expected to wake up thinking this was just a bad dream, but it's not.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, there would be no torture, no barbaric detention without charge. Even of the most egregious so-called enemy combatants. Barack Obama renewed his pledge to close Gitmo, Now we need to keep the pressure on to go all the way and eliminate torture as American policy.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will build you tomorrow.
Don't worry about the torture, it's just really bad people, you know.
Wall Street crime will never send you to slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. Is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a papa pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother your fire?
There's a detailed new report based on interviews with actual individuals who've been held at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere in the American Gulag, published in coordination with the UC Berkeley International Human Rights Law Clinic. Its contributors include the Center for Constitutional Rights and others. To talk about it, we turn to Laurel Fletcher. She is co-author of this report, and she is a clinical professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley. Laurel Fletcher, welcome to our program.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Well, this report is quite timely. As I referenced in the intro, Barack Obama on 60 Minutes Sunday night did renew his pledge to close Guantanamo. He discussed it vaguely in the range of using executive orders to take pretty quick action. And so that's encouraging. But the report that you have published, I think everyone needs to be familiar with its contents. We need to see the depravity that was imposed by the Bush administration and was seen as a reasonable response to the attacks on our country. And I take exception to that because I think that we have, in many respects, created recruiting centers by having exposed our behavior at Guantanamo, at Bagram, and at Abu Ghraib in Iraq. Tell me, how long did it take you to compile this report? And give us a quick sketch of who you talked to put it together.
We spent 2 years on this study. And as you mentioned, so we interviewed actually 62 former detainees in 9 different countries, as well as 50 former guards, translators, and others who work in and around the detention system.
Mm-hmm.
And what we tried to do is capture the totality of the experience of a U.S. prisoner in the war on terror and to try and understand what the cumulative effects of that experience are from the time of their capture during Guantanamo and then their release back home. So in order to do this study, we guaranteed those with whom we spoke anonymity so that they could speak freely, in particular that they could talk about their treatment by their own government or in whatever country they were residing. So we were able to interview them one-on-one. The interviews lasted from about 1 to 3 hours. So it was quite an extensive study. And by comparing what detainees told us with what those who worked in and around the detention facility and other published reports, we're able to get a more complete picture of what exactly these men experienced.
Mm-hmm. And the report is lengthy, 136 pages. It's available free online as a PDF. I found a copy at the San Francisco Chronicle website. That's sfgate.com. And it's a pretty easy one, so I'll just read it on the air here, and maybe you can capture it. sfgate.com/, and it's 4 letters, ZFJQ. Now, they're capitalized, so I think it's a case-sensitive thing. Go to ZFJQ, and those are in capital letters, and I encourage you to take a look at this report for yourself. Now, what is your intention with this report, Professor? What do you hope to achieve by gathering and disseminating this information?
Our goal is to put this report out in attention to the public debate. It is timed with the after the election, because a new administration, President-elect Obama, coming in, has a unique opportunity to turn this dark chapter in U.S. history and to turn over a new leaf, which is why we're calling in the report. Our recommendation is that President-elect Obama should create an independent, nonpartisan commission that would thoroughly examine all aspects of the detention and interrogation programs that the United States has created since 9/11. This country needs to know the truth about what happened, to know who is responsible. The commission should have subpoena power so they can get access to the documents and testimony to get at the truth, and they should be allowed to make recommendations for criminal investigations.
Well, Professor, with all due respect, I'm kind of commissioned out. I felt the 9/11 commission was a whitewash, and to trot out another group of, retired Washington insiders to play a game of ping-pong and cover-up.
Well, we're not actually calling for a 9/11 commission. 9/11 commission was bipartisan. Mm-hmm. And my sense from your response is that was, in fact, one of the problems. We think it has to be independent. And we're mm-hmm. talking about very well-respected individuals drawn from law, from public health, from medicine, and former military officials with intelligence backgrounds. Look, we've got to get this right.
Well, I agree.
Guantanamo has done too much damage to this country's reputation.
But I'd like to turn it over to prosecutors right away. I believe crimes have been committed, and it's very clear. And we need to investigate this with an eye toward exposure, disclosure, and accountability. And
Commission wouldn't forestall any of what you've just recommended. And in fact, a commission is going to be able to get at a broader set of questions. Now, one thing you have to understand, once you say, great, turn it over to the prosecutors, they've got to have evidence. They've got to get access to the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
What we're also asking for, there are some aspects of this entire system that really need to be reexamined with an eye towards making policy recommendations. Not all aspects resulted in criminal liability. We need to come up with an appropriate detention scheme. We need to come up with an appropriate screening process so you don't have, which is what we've ended up with, people who are being sent to Guantanamo who had no business being sent there, right? We got to remember, 520 of the 770 known detainees are already back home. That's over 65% of that total population. Why did this country release 500 men without ever having convicted them of a crime? And what should be done as a result of that? Those answers don't necessarily lead to criminal accountability, but they do demand a policy response, and a very vigorous one if President Obama, when he takes office, is going to be able to show the world that we've turned the page here. We are a country that applies laws.
Well, Professor, I don't think we disagree that much, and I don't want to make a big deal out of it. I simply want full accountability, and I believe it starts with Rumsfeld, with Addington, with Haynes, and those who devised this strategy and created the deniability chain to make it look like, oh, it was Diane Beaver at Guantanamo who wanted to slap some people around, so she sent a memo up about enhanced interrogation techniques. This was a top-down system approved at the highest levels of our government. And a commission will end up doing what we did at Abu Ghraib. We'll get Charlie Grainer and Lindy England, and we'll convict them and say, yeah, we took care of that.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but I will just point out that I don't think we're talking at odds with each other.
Mm-hmm.
That a commission would have the power to recommend criminal investigations, which would do exactly what you're. Let's follow the evidence up the chain of command as it will go. But I think what a commission can also do is examine the policy questions. What should we do for those hundreds of men whose lives have been damaged by their time in Guantanamo, which is mm-hmm. what our study shows,
sure.
And what needs to be done for them? That's not necessarily a question of criminal accountability. What President-elect Obama could do is say, look, we need to establish a commission who's going to make recommendations that will come up with a resettlement and reintegration program. over two-thirds of the 62 detainees we spoke with report having psychological problems that they attribute to their detention in Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
What needs to be done about that? Those are also very pressing questions. And when these men are released back into their communities, they are suffering from what we discovered as a Guantanamo stigma. They were never charged with a crime, but they've never had their names cleared.
Right.
So what that means in concrete terms, men return back home. They cannot find a job. Only six of the 62 had permanent employment. They can't afford to send their children to school. Some of them can't even afford the medication for the mental illnesses they developed during their time in U.S. custody.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be examined as well.
We're talking with Laurel Fletcher. She's a clinical professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley, co-author of this report, Guantanamo and Its Aftermath. And again, you can read it online at the website of the San Francisco Chronicle, sfgate.com/ZFJQ. And it is detailed and very disturbing. One of the people, if there's going to be a commission I want to nominate, is Judge Ricardo Urbina. He's on the court, the federal court in Washington, who ordered the release of the Uyghurs only to have that appealed by the Bush administration via the Justice Department. And he's somebody who appears to really understand the rights of the individuals at Guantanamo Bay.
I want to get back to your point about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think that the public needs to be aware of is that outgoing President Bush should not do anything in his final days that would undercut accountability.
Pardon me?
He has the ability to issue pardons and amnesties.
Right.
And we are being very emphatic that he should not exercise that power. To do so would do a disservice to the American public, would further damage our international reputation and really send the wrong message.
Well, I agree, and the pardon power is absolute. So we can try to set up a public opinion backlash, but this president's never been very concerned about that kind of thing.
That's right, and so I think that we need a public opinion forelash and have people aware that, in fact, this is a possibility, and you're absolutely right. It's within his privilege to do so, but he should not exercise it in this instance.
Well, you remember when President Bush, it was January of 2003, was asked if we're going to war with Iraq, and he said, oh, there are no war plans on my desk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were on David Addington's desk, and that's where I figure the pardons are. We'll take a break and return with Professor Laurel Fletcher. We'll talk about a couple of the anecdotes in this very detailed report about the impact on the prisoners of detention and barbaric behavior, including torture, at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere in our military prison system. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about this new report from the University of California, Berkeley's International Human Rights Law Clinic, co-authored with the Center for Constitutional Rights. Co-author Laurel Fletcher is with us. She is a clinical professor of law at Berkeley. And, Professor, I understand that you and Vince Warren from Center for Constitutional Rights have an event. I got an email. I think it's Tuesday. Do you happen to know?
Vince Warren, who's the executive director of the Center for Constitutional Rights, will be speaking at Bolt Hall tomorrow at 12:45 p.m. in room 100.
Okay.
He will be speaking, I think, more broadly about the Center for Constitutional Rights activities, but we'll talk some about the report.
Mm-hmm.
The Center for Constitutional Rights was our collaborative partner, and Eric Stover and I wrote the report. Eric Stover is the faculty director of the Human Rights Center here on UC Berkeley.
Okay.
The reason why I mentioned that is this is an academic study.
Mm-hmm.
And we used scientifically valid research methodology to get a comprehensive picture as we could about the cumulative effect of the Guantanamo experience on detainees.
Mm-hmm.
And by cumulative effect, the reason why I wanted to mention that is you mentioned earlier about torture. And certainly there's been a lot of discussion about the detainee abuse in Guantanamo and specific torture techniques. What we found in our sample, again, it's important to remember that this is less than a fifth of the total known population of Guantanamo. So it's
mm-hmm.
a small sample. But look at what we found, that detainees are subjected to harsh treatment, including short shackling, exposure to extreme temperatures, primarily of cold, bombarded with loud music and strobe lights. Often these are in conjunction. And they occur over long periods of time, so they'll be held for several hours like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it will continue, this type of treatment goes on for a long period of time.
In addition, there's the frequent flyer program where they move them from cell to cell, in a way that's unpredictable to the inmate. There's been
a form of sleep deprivation.
Repeated instances of disrespect to the Quran and also sexual mores or norms of Islamic individuals. And when we add all this up, one of the things that is kind of a hopeful note here
is that FBI agents are the source for much of the information that you didn't get from prisoners themselves. And I do applaud FBI agents for having a conscience. I wish they had gone public and done so sooner. But at least they did keep a paper trail of many of the abuses that they witnessed.
I agree with you, and it's important to acknowledge those individuals who did the right thing or tried to do the right thing with regard to what they saw and witnessed at Guantanamo. But what's important to recognize about those FBI reports, they're reporting single incidents. We looked at the cumulative effect of that treatment, mm-hmm. and the cumulative effect constitutes cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment. That is, that's illegal under international law. So, and in some instances, that those acts of cruelty can arise to torture. Why this is significant is that if we just think that torture is a result of egregious incidents like waterboarding, so simulated drowning, then we have a much smaller sample that we say, well, okay, that's torture. But under international law, you need to look at the cumulative effect of techniques that in isolation may not be considered torture. But if you look at the total experience of what happens to detainees who've been subjected to these over time, that can arise to torture. That opens up a whole new window on how we should look at Guantanamo and understand what it's meant.
And when you read through these anecdotes, Professor, it seems like they consciously said, you know, how can we dehumanize these people? What is every means available to us? There's an anecdote of a guy who gets the good cop treatment. He's given a motorcycle magazine, and the next interrogator comes in and takes it away. A guy was told in the morning he could hang his shorts up to dry, and in the afternoon he was told, no, you can't do that. And so the trivial micromanagement of people does have a cumulative effect, and I agree with you that that's an important thing to look at, because individually they could be isolated and say, well, that's not really torture, it's inconvenient or it's mean, but it's not physically abusive. But Professor, I wanted to ask you about one thing that I have encountered here in the United States. For many years now, I've been visiting prisoners at San Quentin, and there's a small community of life prisoners there. And some of them have what essentially are open-ended sentences. They have been charged, they have been tried, and they have been convicted. But they don't know how long they're going to be there. And they're at the whim of the parole board, which has been more and more politicized over the years. And one time in the visiting room, one of the guys who's been there over 27 years looked at me and he said, you know, if they would just give me a date, even if it's 20 years from now, 20 years I can whack away at that, but not knowing... He said, not knowing is the most miserable thing they can do to us. And when we translate that to Gitmo, to Abu Ghraib, to Bagram, and some of the detention centers we may not even know about, this is one of the dark parts, is that you snatch people from their lives and you detain them, and they have no idea if this is essentially going to be the last chapter of their life.
It's the sense of dread, despair, and hopelessness are the words that the former detainees we spoke with used to describe their emotional life when they were in Guantanamo. And it was exactly as you described. It was the not knowing. Now, you have to remember that these former detainees, they didn't know why they were there. They didn't know how long they would be there. And they didn't know what, if anything, they could do to get themselves released.
Mm-hmm.
And that cumulative effect of that stress of not knowing, because there was no legitimate due process that they were accorded through which they could show that they were wrongly detained.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that legacy is something that the American public and President-elect Obama are going to have to deal with. Closing Guantanamo won't change that, won't change what the effects are. We need to have specific measures that deal with the after effects, that establish a process for those people who were wrongly detained to clear their name, to have the ability to go on and resume their normal lives. We ask them, what's your attitude towards the United States? Very interesting. they made a clear distinction between the U.S. government, who they held unsurprisingly negative attitudes towards, and the American public.
Professor, I'm out of time. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Laurel Fletcher at UC Berkeley. Read the report, sfgate.com/ZFJQ.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The battle over a bailout for U.S. carmakers.
Senators struggle to find a way to help Detroit. I'm Howard Arenstein in Washington.
Barack Obama and John McCain talk about working together.
There is some fertile ground to plow.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Most of Washington agrees that the U.S. auto industry and all the businesses that depend on it should be saved. The question is, how?
There's disagreement about where to get the money for Detroit's troubled car makers. Democrats want to take it from the $700 billion bailout already passed by Congress, but the White House opposes that idea. John Kyle of Arizona is among Republicans arguing that any funds given to Detroit would be throwing good money after bad.
I have a hard time with that. The fact is, they are in trouble pretty much for reasons that relate to their own decisions.
The House will join the Senate later this week in this lame duck session, but it's still not clear whether anything will be accomplished. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
At the White House, spokeswoman Dana Perino said the Energy Department already has $25 billion in loans available, but the recipients should be willing to change their ways.
We only think taxpayer dollars should go to companies that can show viability and a willingness to make tough decisions to restructure themselves so that they can be successful for the long term.
It seems likely that at least half of TARP, the $700 billion troubled asset relief program, will still be available when the Obama administration takes over.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, which never said the Bush administration would spend all the bailout money before leaving office. A spokesman says the Treasury Department continues to design and develop programs to get credit flowing again in the financial markets, and it's up to Secretary Henry Paulson to decide if he needs the second batch of money.
Nearly $159 billion has been doled out so far. Now this.
Nibble, nosh, savor, devour.
Kim, what are you talking about?
What I'm going to do at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club.
Holiday Taste of?
Sam's Club, where I can sample the perfect holiday meal before I host my own. Lobster ravioli, spiral glazed ham, decadent chocolate layer cake.
Ooh.
Live chef events, too.
Don't miss the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. Friday, November 21st through Sunday, November 23rd, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a member? Join during the event and receive a $10 gift card. Restrictions apply. See club for details.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At the Obama Transition Office in Chicago, the president-elect welcomed former rival John McCain.
Just going to have a good conversation about how we can do some work together to fix up the country.
McCain said he obviously planned to help the new administration.
There are several areas of potential agreement between President-elect Obama and Senator McCain. Energy, for example, on ethics reform, and a few other issues. So there is some fertile ground to plow.
But CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds says Mr. Obama is not likely to offer McCain a job. Senator Ted Kennedy, accompanied by his wife Vicky and their two dogs, returned to Capitol Hill today.
We're very thankful for all the good thoughts and prayers that we've received over the time. We're looking for this forward to this session. And we're delighted to be back.
Kennedy's been under treatment for brain cancer since he suffered a seizure in May. The Massachusetts Democrat said he particularly looks forward to working with Barack Obama on health care. In Southern California, a day of progress. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
With the Santa Ana winds now diminishing, firefighters are on the offensive, both from the air and on the ground. The three major fires continue to burn, but the fire crews are steadily taking control. Today, more people returned to see if their homes survived. For Ron Gibson, it was bad news.
Basically, there's nothing left at all.
For Bob Childress, however, happy news, at least happy under the circumstances.
Yeah, I get to go home to a house, and so I'm very, very, very thankful for that, yeah.
The fires now seem to be mostly moving away from homes. Steve Futterman, CBS News, your Belinda, California.
Just last month, Citigroup announced plans to cut 22,000 jobs. Today, the banking giant said it will eliminate 53,000 more. Goldman Sachs and UBS say their top executives won't be getting bonuses this year. The Dow fell 223 points. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms prior to enrollment.
If you're tired of credit card debt with high rates and fees, if you're in over your head dealing with high monthly payments, there's powerful information that credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with monthly payments you can afford. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-5168. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we could save you thousands. Live better, debt-free. Find out how by calling for this valuable free information the credit card companies don't want you to know. Call Credit Answers at 1-800-400-5168. That's 1-800-400-5168. 1-800-400-5168.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Well, I picked the Lion Rock Full Throttle mix. And I think I'm regretting it. Let's try this. That's more better. Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show up and down the left coast, coming your way from San Francisco.
It was January 1963, when Johnny came home with a gift for me. He said, I bought it for you because I love you. And I bought it for you because it's your birthday too.
And we're experiencing a cold snap here in California. Yeah, it dropped down into the 70s. Weekend, it was beautiful, up into the 80s, up and down the state. Did provide the Santa Ana conditions, three wildfires continuing to rage in the Los Angeles, Santa Barbara area. Cliff Schechter returns to our program without the weight of exclusively having to talk about John McCain. He's the author of The Real McCain. Cliff, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you doing, Peter?
Well, I'm still awake. I got up at 4:30 this morning. I'm doing double duty this week, covering the Lionel Show on Air America, which is at the pristine time of 6 a.m. California time.
All right.
And I haven't been up that early in a while. So I did crash immediately after the show, and I've recharged.
There you go. You have to have a nice mid-afternoon nap, so kind of bushy in trade.
And we have invited you to come on the program. I understand it's been confirmed for tomorrow?
I think so, yeah. I heard from the folks at Air America, and I said absolutely.
Okay, great.
Wherever Peter goes, I follow.
Excellent. Well, good. And because of the Air America cruise, there are a lot of different people popping up this week. And I just got a note from Gary in Sacramento that Rachel Maddow will not be available on television tonight, and Arianna Huffington is sitting in for her. Now, that is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. I saw that when I was reading the Huffington Post the other day. So that should be fun.
Yeah, yeah. So, Cliff, I wanted to talk about some of the events here of the Obama Love Fest. He's talking about Republicans in the cabinet. He held a meeting with John McCain today in Chicago. And while I'm hopeful that he's not going to offer McCain a cabinet post or anything meaningful in the administration, it does seem that change has been tossed out for continuity and status quo type people.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I think, I think Obama realizes that, yeah, to get anything done in Washington, you do have to have some people who know the ropes and certainly have been there a while. And you know, the truth is, even if the Democrats pull a royal flush and end up with 60 seats in the Senate, which is still a possibility, you still at times are going to have to work with Republicans. I think hopefully what he's doing in reaching out to McCain is you know, I'm not going to use that term that everybody's been using because it's driving me crazy. You probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, post-participle?
I was going to go with that. I'll just say it. What the heck? The team of rivals.
Oh, yeah.
Which has literally been everywhere. Good for Doris Kearns Goodwin. I'll probably pump her book back up.
She's still a plagiarist in my book.
There you go. Well, everybody keeps using that. I'm not going to bother using that term. I'm just going to say that John McCain, I think, is someone who has, in a way, has an interest in getting stuff done with Obama, because otherwise he's going to be remembered just as this guy who traded in everything to become a warrior of the far right and got crushed in an election. And I think he's hoping that his swan song will be that he brings back his reputation as a bit of a maverick. And so, you know, Obama can play to that, and maybe it'll get him nowhere, but I don't see where it hurts to sit down with McCain. I agree. No way is he to be in the cabinet, but there certainly can be other Republicans who are good on certain issues that I would have no problem with. As long as they share Obama's vision and they share our vision of a more progressive society, then, you know, I don't care what their label is.
Well, and Obama took pains. I thought the 60 Minutes piece last night was fascinating on a number of levels. First up, just the visceral feel. It was so delightful to watch the next president sitting there very comfortably. He was relaxed. You didn't get any sense of tension. And he could utter a complete sentence with a verb, a subject.
And they agreed with each other?
And they agreed, and it didn't look like there was a war inside his head that, oh, what am I going to say next, and how do you pronounce nuclear?
Yeah, exactly. How many syllables is that? That's the thing that's just gotten me overall, is that we all realize this when we first saw George Bush come on the scene. And in a way, you almost got used to it, sadly, except for when he really said unbelievably stupid things. Because this is just what we had to deal with. And to see a guy who actually has a brain and is articulate and has actually honestly thought through issues and cares about them and isn't just there because it seemed like something good to do because Daddy did it.
Mm-hmm.
It is an amazing thing. And I also, what I noticed about that 60 Minutes interview that I loved, is just the sort of fun and playful kind of back and forth he had with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're real people. And that's going to be such a refreshing thing.
Well, and he's off the campaign watch, where he was so conscious of never making a mistake. And he was smiling. And he was playing with Steve Croft, saying, that's all you're going to get, Steve.
Right.
And the other piece that I thought was really important was he sounded the call for pragmatism over ideology. And this is promising. It is fraught with potential risk, because he is gambling that Republicans are going to respond in kind. And instead of forming a new attack machine and starting an impeachment move and looking for ways, like they did with Clinton, to undermine and discredit him from day one, if Obama is successful and can get a ceasefire from the Republican attack machine, then this may pan out. My concern, Cliff, is that we saw that Clinton not only didn't have the favor returned when he dropped all the Iran-Contra investigations. He got burned all the way through his presidency by underestimating the virulence of his opponents.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And look, Rush Limbaugh has already called it the Obama recession, which I find unbelievably funny. But I think you're right, and what I'm hoping is, and this is what I hoped for in the campaign, and after being disappointed for a little while at times, he lived up to it in the end, which was that he understands that to reach out to be bipartisan, to reach out and try and bring in as many people as possible, but to not have that be, not allow yourself to be naive. That you try to reach out, you try to be the one who's a bigger person, but you have to be ready, and I think he was in the end, that if they're just going to come after you, then you got to play hardball. And I think that's why Rahm Emanuel is there, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is that he's doing all this, and it makes him look terrific to be sitting down and meeting with McCain and Lindsey Graham like he did today, to be reaching out to Hillary Clinton, obviously a rival in his own party, but to be reaching out to a variety of Republicans whose names have been tossed around, like Chuck Hagel, Dick Lugar. Mm-hmm. And, have just recently sending Leach out there, former Republican Jim Leach of Iowa.
He's a good government guy.
Yeah, he is, too. So that's what I care about. And I do think there's a difference from the 90s, I'll say quickly, in that two things have changed. First of all, a lot of Bill Clinton's agenda, sadly, was thwarted by his own party. The Democratic Party still hadn't rid itself of a lot of these right-wing Southern Democrats that were still of the old, almost Dixiecrat style.
Sam Nunn.
That would be one example. There are plenty of them around then, and a lot of them got in his way. Well, that's changed now. I mean, the Democrats have many more seats in areas that used to be liberal Republican areas, like the Northwest, like the Northeast, like, the West Coast and other places, where I think he's got a much more progressive body in both the House and the Senate to work with. And second of all, I think we've got a much better machine to answer. When you're talking about a few hosts on MSNBC, you're talking about Air America Radio, what you do, blogs, a variety of people. It's not the same game in the 90s where the right could say whatever the heck they wanted and get away with it, even the early 2000s. I think that's changed, too. So my hope is, Obama has this 10 million strong email list,
mm-hmm.
and he can reach out directly to people. So that's what I'm hoping, that he can use all that to his advantage and still get it, that he needs to be the bigger guy and look magnanimous. But if they come after him, he's got to be ready to unleash Rahm Emanuel to play hardball.
The idea of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton produced a column out of Maureen Dowd in Sunday's New York Times that closed with this paragraph. If Barry chooses Hillary as Secretary of State, a woman who clearly intimidated him and taught him to be a better Paul in the primaries, it doesn't signal the return of the Clinton era. It says the opposite. If you have a president who's willing to open up his universe to other smart, strong people, if you have a big dog who shares his food dish, the Bill Clinton era is truly over. Appointing a Clinton in the cabinet would be so un-Clintonian. Now, I find that clever and amusing, and I'm unpersuaded, because I do understand the idea of trying to bring his enemies closer. I do understand that in many respects, Hillary Clinton, I think, could perform well as Secretary of State. My problem is the baggage that Bill represents and his conflicts of interest with all the money he's earned and raised since he left the White House for his library, for the Clinton Initiative. And, that 63-page disclosure document is going to be about 63 volumes in the case of Hillary's spouse.
Right. Well, I totally understand that. And I would hope, and they're talking about they're vetting it right now, I would hope that they would vet in a very, very careful way, because I agree. I do think Hillary Clinton, because of her star power and because of, an international, the background, obviously, from when she was in the White House, I think she could be great at that job. At the same time, and she would have to adhere to Obama's vision, and I think she would, but you're right. I mean, they have to make sure that, obviously, that everything is disclosed, that Bill Clinton is just going to simply have to make some sacrifices and give up some of his interests and things that he's doing, and that's the only way that could happen.
And don't we have to have full disclosure of where the money came from for the library and the initiative?
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't been willing to do that. He wouldn't do it during the primary.
Well, that's got to, that, in my opinion, you know, whether my opinion matters or not, I think you know what that is. But
well, they'll probably come up with a way to find some esteemed third party, a judge or somebody, who will look at Clinton's list but not disclose it and say, well, we have concerns about 14 of them.
Oh, I'd like her for that position if they do that. But I still have to say very quickly, I don't know when we're heading to break here, but
yeah.
I my first choice was and still is Bill Richardson.
Me too.
Who
Me
I
too.
Think has just, you know, shown his mettle in whether it's DARPA or whether it's, you know, in Korea, going to North Korea. I mean, he's done a variety of things that have just been unbelievable. He's got phenomenal diplomatic abilities. He's got the background, having mm-hmm. been at the UN and even energy, which really has an international component to it.
And he lost 50 pounds.
He lost weight. He had a beard. He got rid of the beard. Come on. I would also throw out there that, you know, that there's, that, you know, when we're talking about people talking about bringing in rivals, people forget he may have endorsed Obama eventually.
Mm-hmm.
He was a presidential rival initially, too. So there's something to be said for that also.
Well, I'd like to see Dennis Kucinich brought into the fold. He's got a lot of great ideas on domestic and foreign policy. We'll take a break and return with the Cliffster, Cliff Schechter, author of The Real McCain. More in a moment. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis, addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Sia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now in Monterey County, we have a couple of traffic hazards happening. The first one is on southbound Highway 1 just south of Lightfighter Road. Then we have a hazard on southbound 1 just north of 8th. There is a large trash can in lane number 1. Moving on to Santa Cruz, we have a couple of collisions there. On 14th Avenue at East Cliff Drive, there is an ambulance responding. On Helen Avenue at Thurber Lane, we have a collision with no injury. In weather, it's a beautiful day here on the Central Coast. It's sunny and highs are in the upper 70s to upper 80s. Sunset is at 4:56 tonight. Have a great afternoon, everybody. That's your traffic and weather on AM 540. Stay tuned to the Peter B. Collin Show.
It's the Peter B. Show. This one's for Ariana.
Pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I stand? This world is forcing me to hold your hand.
Has probably taped the Rachel Maddow show already today, but I do have a request. I'd love for her to trot out the clip of this episode from the California recall. There was a debate of sorts, and she confronted the Terminator.
Ariana, come here, let
you're
me finish.
Talking about the
let
contacts
me finish.
Right now, not about
let
education.
Let me finish.
And
you know, this is completely impolite. This is the way you treat women. We know that, but not now.
I would just like to say that I just realized that I have a perfect part for you in Terminator 4. That's it.
And that, of course, was an off-color reference to dipping her head in the toilet. And Ariana really capitalized on that and almost derailed the Arnold insurgency there back a few years ago. Cliff Schechter with us here on the Peter B. Collin Show.
Hello there.
Yes, sir. And next up, Cliff, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your thoughts about the Lieberman problem. You used to blog over at Fire Dog Lake, and they are leading a petition drive right now aimed at Senator Barbara Boxer to push her to reject Lieberman and to, you know, try to move forward from this kind of let's forgive and forget phase of the Obama transition.
Yeah, well, I'm glad, you know, I'm happy that they're doing it and that there's other efforts out there. My position on the whole issue is I don't think he should be kicked out of the caucus. I would leave it up to him. But I absolutely think that he needs to lose the Homeland Security gavel, and for a variety of reasons. And a lot of people have been writing about them for a while now. It's not just that he stabbed Democrats in the back. It's not just that he lied in his private assurances to Harry Reid that he wasn't going to personally attack Barack Obama on the trail, and then did that. He also defended Susan Collins and Norm Coleman against Democrats. And look at what we're looking at right now in Minnesota. I'm not saying that Lieberman made any difference, but if he did, you know, all the slightest difference. There, in an op-ed he wrote defending Norm Coleman, you know, who knows what that did to that race, and you know, and then obviously there's just the fact that he was, quite frankly, horrible at his job. I mean, do you remember all those hearings he held, looking into President Bush? And
well, and there were a bunch of hearings he didn't hold.
Oh, that's right.
He said, well, my predecessor took care of that.
Well, that's right. That's right. He didn't hold any hearings. That's why we don't remember them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've got people from Blackwater driving around shooting people on the street. You've got $9 billion disappearing. I mean, I don't need to go through everything in Iraq.
Well, Cliff, just less than 10 minutes from now, Mike Grabel, not the senator, but Mike, it could be Grable or Grabel. He's a reporter for ProPublica.org, and they have a powerful piece about air marshals. And these guys are out of control. More than 36 of them have been charged with crimes. One guy left his pistol in the washroom on a plane, and a teenager discovered it. Others have DUIs and other criminal convictions. And it is just an ugly, thug-heavy group. And this is under the jurisdiction of
Homeland
Joe Lieberman
Security.
And the Homeland Security Committee.
Exactly right. And so, you know, when you combine all of that, you know, Homeland Security is a pretty important thing, pretty important position he has there to look into what's going on and do something crazy, you know, protect us and all.
And I want to put somebody in there who will
show up for my little 2-year-old to play with.
Excuse me, I want to put somebody in there who will change the name. It just drives me bonkers.
Well, that wouldn't be bad either. Actually.
I don't live in a homeland.
Yeah, there's a definite point you make there. It sounds a little scary,
yeah.
Even using that term. which made sense the last 8 years because we almost were living in our homeland. But I definitely think that there's just no doubt he has to. I don't think he should be chairing any committees. And you know what? If he wants to be a jackass, I'm not sure if I can say that. So I
yeah, you did. Go ahead.
And at that point wants to go over to the Republican Party and sit there in the minority and have nothing, then let him do it. If he wants to try and prove he's still, you know, he make up for what he did and stay in the Democratic caucus, but take his punishment like a man, then let him do that.
Well,
that's how I'd handle it.
And I like what you just said there, because that's the Democratic leadership operating from a position of strength. And if you simply say, oh, Joe, we're going to forget about it, that's weakness. He will continue to exploit it and thumb his nose at the very people who give him power.
And not only that, nobody else has anything to fear then. It's about cohesion in the caucus. If he can get away with this much, well, then can't other people just split away on any vote they want?
Yeah.
And what is anybody, you know, I mean, and this is sadly, I think, the result of their having done nothing to Zell Miller.
Yeah.
Who popped his crazy head out of a bunker somewhere, you know, out of a mental institution somewhere to endorse Saxby Chambliss. Something should have been done about him way back when, and it wasn't.
Cliff Schechter, thank you very much.
Thanks,
Cliff.
A lot, Peter.
Talk to you soon.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Is he too popular? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Barack Obama is very popular, and people trust him. CNN's latest poll finds that 77% are confident he'll make the right decisions on his cabinet. Plus, he meets with Hillary Clinton, who tried to beat him to a pulp. He meets with John McCain, who tried to beat him to a pulp. Americans like that. Plus, he's young and cool. The Obama Grill video, up to 11.7 million YouTube hits. And he's getting his kids a hypoallergenic dog, which leads directly to the next phase of the story. Has the media become a choir of Obama worshippers? Well, of course it has. The news business is about mouse clicks now, and Obama clicks. Sometimes I think the only people not in the grip of Obama worship are the Obamas themselves. On 60 Minutes, they're almost too normal.
And I looked at him and I said, you are the 44th president of the United States of America. Wow, what a country we live in.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she said, are you going to take the girls to school in the morning?
I did not.
I mean, how can you not like that? Darn, now I'm doing it too. But for those of you who worry the man is too likable, rest assured, even likable presidents screw up. Kennedy messed up the Bay of Pigs. Reagan traded arms for hostages. We all remember Bill Clinton. So take heart. President Obama, once he solved the Great Depression, will undoubtedly reveal that he's human. He could forget to take the girls to school. The FBI will find hypoallergenic dog hair in the Lincoln bedroom. It could happen. Now this.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath.
Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
You get on that big old jet airliner, and you feel a lot safer because you took your shoes off at the airport checkpoint, and there may be an air marshal on your flight, right?
Touching down in New England town, feel the heat coming down. I've got to keep on keeping on. You know the big wheel keeps us spinning around. I'm going with some hesitation. You know that I can surely see that I don't want to get caught.
Oh, I think there's an S-bomb coming. We'll fade it right there. Thank you, Steve Miller. I'm Peter B. Collins, and joining me now is Mike Graybell. He writes for ProPublica. This is the new journalism in the public interest nonprofit website, and he previously worked for the Dallas Morning News, and he was a 2007 finalist for the Livingston Award for Young Journalists. Just how young are you, Michael?
I'm 27.
Oh, wow. Well, then that fits. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
You have a pretty impressive background for a young man. If you got a break there at the Dallas Morning News. So how did that happen? What was your entree to daily newspaper writing?
Oh, sure. In college I worked for several newspapers throughout it, and then applied for an internship my senior year, and ended up working at the Morning News right out of college.
Yeah, and what did you cover there?
I covered crime and police, the Dallas Police Department, and then I covered aviation security and safety. So that's how I got started with the TSA.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up covering state and federal courts for several years.
Very powerful story that you reported last week and was published by USA Today regarding the air marshals. And as I referenced in the intro, many people believe, oh, we're safer now when we fly because we take our shoes off, we submit to these inspections, they steal our water bottles before we get on the plane. But there's a risk here from the very people who are supposed to be looking out for our safety. And I'm one of those people who was not so convinced that it was a great idea to put armed law enforcement officers on airplanes, if for only that I don't want them to use their sidearms. It's very dangerous to fire a weapon in a pressurized cabin. And regardless of the situation, I think that that's just one of the factors that gave me pause when they announced that we would put armed air marshals on commercial flights.
Right. And, I think one thing I want to emphasize before we talk about sort of the findings in our story is that, by and large, I think the majority of air marshals on planes, are not committing crimes, or are there to, basically want to serve the country and are acting very, acting professionally in how they, how the agency wants them to. But what we did find was that we found, several dozen air marshals who actually had been charged with crimes and had showed poor judgment. As you mentioned, you're on a plane with hundreds of passengers and firing range. You can't stop and say, hold on, let's call for backup and get the SWAT team out here.
Mm-hmm.
So they really are putting a premium on sound judgment. And the major finding here is that we found more than 3 dozen air marshals who have been charged with crimes, 18 felonies, and then we found hundreds more air marshals have been accused of misconduct over the years.
Yeah. Well, and some of the stories are astounding. We'll get to those in a moment. Give us the overview here. Currently, who do the air marshals report to in the government bureaucracy? Because they've been moved around a few times.
Right. They report to the TSA, and then ultimately up through Department of Homeland Security. They started before 9/11. There was only 33 of them, and they worked for the FAA. Then they got moved over to TSA, and then from the Department of Transportation, Department of Homeland Security, then from TSA to Immigration and Customs Enforcement, trying to make them more criminal investigators. And then in 2005, I believe, they got moved back to TSA.
And Michael, what is their status? Are they sworn peace officers? Are they the equivalent of, a federal park policeman or an FBI agent? Where do they stand in the pecking order?
They are federal law enforcement officers. They are not, I believe, and I probably shouldn't say because I don't know exactly where they rank, but I don't believe they have criminal investigator series status. And mm-hmm. somebody listening to your show might call me and correct me on that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that they are, closer to a park police level where they are authorized to carry a sidearm and to use it under certain circumstances. Of course, I would imagine that they have had contingency training for various scenarios that could play out on an in-flight airliner. Do you know much about their training, how rigorous it is, and in particular, how well they are trained with their weapons?
Well, they get 7 weeks of training in Artesia, New Mexico, and then they have to go to a specialized school in Atlantic City that's run by the Air Marshal Program, and that's also, I believe, 7 weeks. The Air Marshals Service has said for years that they have the highest firearms qualification standard among federal law enforcement agencies. They have to shoot 85% accuracy, whereas I think the basic level for all law enforcement is 70%. And then, FBI, DA all have different sets of circumstances that they want you to be able to show. The Air Marshals Service, when it first started, had a test that, was meant to basically test accuracy and speed in close quarters, an environment similar to an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And then they discontinued that, and now it's used in training, but you're no longer required to pass that test.
Mm-hmm. And this is just came to my mind, so if it distracts you, don't let it. I recall that there was a move to place missiles on commercial airliners in order to shoot down either, a predatory airplane, a fighter, or some other problem in the sky. Does an air marshal have control over that kind of a weapon on a commercial airliner, or does the pilot have that? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know what you're referring to on that.
Well,
I know they used to have, they were in development for, I guess, something to deter a shoulder-fired missile or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that's really, it's been in development, but I don't think it's, ever been approved or anything like that.
Okay. Well, enough of my digression. Back to the issue here of firearms and air marshals. You cite three different episodes here. In 2003, a New York air marshal pulled his gun in a dispute over a parking space. Another failed to turn over his ammo on an international trip as required by diplomatic agreements and was detained by Israeli airport security in 2004. That same year, a Las Vegas air marshal discharged his gun in a hotel room, penetrating a wall, shattering a mirror. In April, a Phoenix air marshal fired his during a fight outside a bar. And one more guy left his handgun in the plane's lavatory back in 2001. And a teenager found it and turned it over, I guess, to a flight attendant. Now, these things, the leaving it in the bathroom actually appears to be the most forgivable of these episodes. But these suggest people who believe they're above the law, Michael.
We found a couple others. We found some road rage incidents also that didn't make it in here.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be a lot of, several incidents that we found where air marshals, either negligently used their gun or misused it. in an incident, and they
And there's one who hired an escort in Washington, D.C., and locked her in the hotel room and proceeded to pull out his weapon and threaten her with it?
Right, yeah. This was back in, and let me just get the date and everything like that, but back in, this was a Cincinnati Air Marshal, a guy named David Slaughter. And he, you know, was staying over in at the Embassy Suites in Arlington, Virginia on a layover in July 2006. And he called up an escort service, and the reason he said was, one, he said that it was 2 days after his birthday, and he was looking to get a steak dinner and wanted someone who could tell him where to get a good steak dinner. The second thing he said was that he was having marital problems, and he wanted a neutral female perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So he called the woman up. He called the escort service up, and they sent over the escort, and she, you know, they were talking about how they would spend their time and how much it would cost, and he went into the bedroom of his hotel suite and returned with his gun and handcuffs. At this point, the woman, you know, didn't know what to think, and she tried to flee, and he kind of stood between her and the doorway. She was on the phone, I guess, trying to call tell the escort service to call 911, and he unplugged the phone. So they struggle, and the woman finally gets – she's banging on the window and everything, and she finally gets the door open. And, you know, he pins her on the ground. According to prosecutors, he held her in a chokehold and then handcuffed her. Well, after police get there and sort it all out, and, you know, they decide that they're going to charge this guy Slaughter with abduction for holding the escort against her will.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 15 days in jail on that account.
And he was discharged from the Air Marshal Service, is that right?
That's right, yeah. He was convicted of a felony and therefore discharged.
Mm-hmm. But not before he had influential friends write letters saying what a wonderful guy he is, except when he hangs out with escorts, I guess.
Right, after his arrest, I believe six of his colleagues in Cincinnati wrote character references for him. And this, there was, you know, said, man, you know, he's a man of impeccable character. An outstanding employee, polite. His character around the office is one of example. And then, you know, Dave's demeanor and professionalism reflect favorably on the field office as well as the agency as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously what this guy, you know, was charged with was not the sum total of his life and work history, you know, but certainly did something that did not reflect favorably on the Air Marshal Service.
We're talking with Michael Graybell. He writes for ProPublica. They're on the web at ProPublica.org. You want a spelling? ProPublica.org. And, Michael, I have a source who worked for the FAA Red Team before the TSA was formed. And his job was to go through and inspect airport security by carrying weapons or dummy weapons or those kinds of things. And he checks in with me every now and then. I'm a little overdue to talk to Steve. But he has asserted that since TSA took over, the rate of failure on these test programs and test penetrations that they run has actually increased. And that in some cities, you know, TSA is really a charade. It's just they're going through the motions, and on a routine basis, people who have contraband, who are plants, get through undetected. What do you think is the general level of security in our airport system today?
Well, I think on that, because I've seen the reports on that, I think TSA would probably tell you that the tests are harder than they were before 9/11. You know, but the failure rates, I mean, report after report that I've seen show that the failure rates do remain high, you know, whenever the report does come out. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, we certainly have added a lot of layers of security, and TSA will frequently tell you that, you know, if there's problems in one area, that's why, you know, they designed the system to have these various layers, because if there is one gap, they don't want it to be, you know, the only gap. They want to sort of close all those holes as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's the Inspector General's office and the Government Accountability Office, you know, frequently have reports showing that that security isn't as tight as it could be.
Well, and Michael, my attitude is that we are replicating France after World War I. They built what was called the Maginot Line, which was to defend them from a ground invasion by Germany. And they built gun emplacements with turrets that didn't go full 360 degrees. They could only scan the horizon on the perceived border with Germany. And the Luftwaffe came in, flew around them, and bombed them out from the rear. And that's my perception of airport security. We have hardened our airports to prevent the last attacks, and our enemies will come up with more clever ways, perhaps not even using airports, to attack us in the future. And meantime, little old ladies and moms with three kids have to submit to very intrusive inspections and give up their liquids. And for my money, I don't think we're much safer for it. Michael, we're going to take a break and return. We'll talk more about your report. It was published in USA Today last week. You can read it on the web at propublica.org. And the headline reads, Chief calls on air marshals to root out misconduct. Oh, wait a minute. That's the follow-up. The original one was air marshals, undercover and under arrest. And that's what I have in front of me here. We'll continue in a moment. If you have a question or a comment, you're a member of the flying public and you'd like to weigh in, I welcome your calls. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Thea with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. We have a traffic collision with no injuries right now on Route 12 at Castroville Boulevard. Taking a look at Morrow Road, just north of Echo Valley Road, we have a traffic hazard with a semi blocking the road, so watch out there. Moving on up to southbound 101 on the northbound Monterey Road off-ramp, there is a big red truck blocking the ramp. In weather right now, we are having an absolutely gorgeous day. Tonight is going to be mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Sunset is at 4:56 tonight. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy this gorgeous afternoon and have a safe commute. The Peter B. Cullen Show is coming right back.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Brandon Hirsch. Our top item today, conservative pundits continue to suggest that foul play is involved in the Minnesota Senate race between Al Franken and Senator Norm Coleman. Here's radio host Mark Levin.
Well, speaking of the spiteful troll, a.k.a. Al Franken, I see he and his fellow hoods are trying to steal the election in Minnesota. May I say a brief prayer out loud? Dear God.
However, many of these reports offer no evidence to back their accusation, and even the state's Republican Governor Tim Pawlenty said that there is no actual evidence that there's been any fraud or problems in counting the votes. But today's most ridiculous comment goes to Dennis Miller, suggesting that liberal women are jealous of Sarah Palin's sex life.
People are fascinated by her because the left hate her. I think the left hate her, mostly women on the left hate her, because to me, from outside in, it appears that she has a great sex life, all right? I think she has non-neurotic sex with that Todd Palin guy.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show asking the question, is there anybody watching the air marshals? talking with reporter Mike Graybell from ProPublica.org about his story about air marshals. More than three dozen have been charged or convicted of crimes, and some of them at least continue to serve in the Air Marshal Corps. And, Michael, as you look at the situation here, has the TSA responded to the charges that you've raised here, and have they promised to tighten up their standards? And do they have any kind of a monitoring program of their own air marshals? Do they have, you know, supervisors who fly anonymously to watch the work of their underlings?
They, let me start with the first one.
Mm-hmm.
They've posted three responses so far, or three responses in three different ways to the piece. The first was on their website, and if you look on their homepage now, it's probably the lead story there. In there, they say that we presented a distorted view of the Air Marshal Service by, quote, simply compiling and rehashing old reports. I want to say that, you know, the most, you know, we have reports up until of new misconduct up until August of this year. And in August and September, in a three-week period, there was three guys who were sentenced to federal prison. So some of this stuff is fairly new. They also, the director of the Air Marshal Service also posted a response on the TSA blog. The TSA has a blog where you can go and ask questions or comment on their post. And there they also say, you know, this is, you know, a small percentage of bad apples. But then later on, we obtained, just on Friday, we obtained an email that the director sent out to the rank and file. And here he's taking a little bit more of a stern, you know, a more stern tone. And he says, I am sure you are just as personally and professionally embarrassed by these incidents as I am. This is an agency-wide email. He says, in order to maintain the trust and confidence of our fellow Americans, we must dedicate ourselves to root out and report any instance of misconduct or criminal behavior. You know, I asked the spokesman if anything had changed, and he said, no, this is, you know, he thinks that the statements were precisely the same message. And if you want, you can go on our website and you can look at the three messages and decide for yourself
mm-hmm.
if there's been a change or if it's the same message in three different ways.
Yep. You even put up a flattering photo of Federal Air Marshal Service Director Robert Bray. Not an embarrassing one. It's a nice formal photo of him. So people can take a look at that. And to my other question, do they monitor the work of the air marshals who are on planes?
I believe they do. You know, from what I've been told from air marshals I've talked to, that there is, you know, a periodic trip that a supervisor will accompany them on. I'm not sure if it's unknown or known to the air marshals that the person is following them on. There were, you know, one thing that we reported was back in April, there had been so many complaints, or there had been enough complaints from U.S. embassies, airlines, and foreign law enforcement agencies about air marshals' misconduct overseas, that the director, then at the time, his name was Dana Brown, ordered supervisors to go on missions to act as liaison with the governments and sort of watch over the air marshals who were on the trips. So they have responded, you know, in some ways to increase supervision, but the job is inherently one where the air marshals are relied on to have good judgment and be independent. They're often, you know, the air marshals on the plane are by themselves and in charge if something were to go wrong, and staying in cities far away from their homes, where, you know, they represent not only themselves and the Air Marshal Service, but the United States government, at least if they're overseas.
Tell us about Sean Nguyen. He was a guy who apparently got caught carrying drugs, trafficking people, cash. He was a mule, and he was kind of double-dipping. He was getting paid for being an air marshal and also getting paid by smugglers to carry their contraband.
Yeah, Sean Nguyen, back in 2004, I believe, was an air marshal, and he was in Houston, and he, you know, he was a former Drug Enforcement Administration agent, and he had kind of a lot of stuff going on with his life, a lot of personal problems, bankruptcy, et cetera, and he ended up hanging out with some of the, you know, guys he knew who were involved in drug dealing, and he came across this guy and ended up going into some drug deals with him, and that guy turned him over to turned him into the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
So they set up a sting, and Sean Wynn multiple times, you know, is smuggling cocaine and drug money using his top secret clearance that he got as a federal air marshal.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to go past security without really being checked, and his bags, you know, had cocaine and drug money. And he was so confident of his abilities that he often bragged that, you know, he was, quote, the man with the golden badge.
Mm.
And he said at one point, and this was on a recording that the FBI recorded him saying, that he didn't care what was in the package, so long as he knew what he was getting in money. He would take it anywhere, and he didn't care what was in the package.
Michael Grabel, very good work. I want people to read it at ProPublica.org, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Good to talk with you. Coming up next, the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments welcome. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving Internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. U.S. automakers say they're losing money so fast they can't wait for a new president and Congress. They need help now. But the current president and Congress can't agree on how to do it. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
With the clock ticking on GM, Ford, and Chrysler, Congress reconvened today to consider an immediate cash infusion of $25 billion. Michigan Senator Carl Levin says it's in the national interest.
Do we want this kind of a manufacturing base in America, or are we willing to do what no other country is willing to do, which is to give up on its automobile industry?
But Senate Democrats and the Bush administration are deadlocked about where the money would come from. Democrats want to carve it from the $700 billion Wall Street bailout package. The White House says no.
We have $25 billion specifically for the automakers. It's there for the taking, and we hope that they would take us up on our offer to be able to work with us.
White House Press Secretary Dana Perino says the money would be in the form of Energy Department loans to help carmakers retool to build more efficient vehicles. The Bush administration says the financial rescue package was never intended to bail out manufacturers. Congressional leaders say they have been told the Treasury Secretary Paulson does not intend to distribute all of the $700 billion. He's likely to leave about half the money on the table for the Obama administration. At Obama Transition Headquarters in Chicago,
hey guys,
the president-elect greeted reporters and his former rival John McCain for their first face-to-face talk since the election. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds says Mr. Obama hopes to win McCain's cooperation on initiatives like energy and ethics reform.
It's highly unlikely, according to both sides in this, that Obama, in his determination to be bipartisan, would actually offer a job to John McCain in his administration.
Asked if he planned to help the new president, McCain said, obviously. CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor takes a look at an Agriculture Department report on the number of American children who didn't get enough to eat last year.
Almost 700,000?
There is no amount of hunger in this country that is acceptable.
And that number is up more than 50% over the previous year. Deputy Ag Secretary Kate Houston.
Inadequate access to food for our children is is always troubling.
What the Agriculture Department calls its survey of food security also shows more than 36 million American adults and kids struggled with hunger last year, mostly adults.
Our research has shown that in most households, adults would sacrifice their own meals long before they would deprive their children of any food.
Worst American hunger stats in 10 years. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Citigroup shook the stock market with an announcement that it plans to lay off another 53,000 people. The Dow down 223 points to 8273. The Nasdaq lost 34 points, going down to 1482. This is CBS News.
Truck on the right, no signs in sight. Which lane to take? Can't make mistake. Which way to go? Too many roads. Exit almost missed. Need lane assist. Get a Nuvie. Change lanes with ease. With lane assist, exits you won't miss. Nuvie knows the road, knows where to go. Navigation tool, even saves you fuel.
Give a Garmin.
Give a Garmin.
Nuvie keeps you sane, ends driving pains. Garmin.com, Garmin.com.
Give a Garmin Nuvie with lane assist.
I give my wife gold because I know that it makes her feel special.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry customer Larry Young, talks about why only gold is treasured.
I can tell her that I love her, but when I give her that little box and she opens it up, actions speak louder than words.
From classic to contemporary, only Jared offers five times the selection of truly distinctive gold jewelry, with prices from under $50 to over $1,000.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com. Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
Healthy eating in an airport terminal? It's possible if you land at the right airport. Reporter Sabrina Gibbons has the story.
The healthiest airport food can be found in Dallas and Detroit. Susan Levin with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine says they graded 12 airports across the country, and Fort Worth International and Detroit Metropolitan Wayne County both got A's. But at the bottom of the list?
The worst is my city, Washington, D.C. Our small national airport did not do so well.
It got an F. And the world's busiest airport here in Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson, got a D.
It's fairly reflective of the standard American diet, unfortunately.
Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
Getting enough sleep can help prevent cancer. A study of nearly 6,000 women in Maryland found that regular exercise reduced their risk of cancer, but the benefit diminished when a woman got less than 7 hours of shut-eye on a regular basis. Experts at the Centers for Disease Control say sleep loss is an under-recognized public health problem. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Nibble, nosh, savor, devour.
Kim, what are you talking about?
What I'm going to do with the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club.
Holiday Taste of?
Sam's Club, where I can sample the perfect holiday meal before I host my own. Lobster ravioli, ooh, spiral glazed ham, decadent chocolate layer cake.
Ooh.
Live chef events, too.
Don't miss the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. Friday, November 21st through Sunday, November 23rd, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a member? Join during the event and receive a $10 gift card. Restrictions apply. See club for details.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
I'll do it now.
Add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Do it now. It's the free speed zone. Your calls and comments are welcome, and we pay for the call. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Are you prepared for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? And what about Republicans in the cabinet? Do you want to keep Bob Gates at Pentagon?
What matters to you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
I've got lines open for you right now. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. No guests scheduled this hour. It's just me and your telephone calls, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear your points of view regarding the Obama transition to date. If you got a chance to see his lengthy interview, and the First Lady-elect was there last night, too, I thought it was really powerful on 60 Minutes. And the view that we got of Barack Obama as a relaxed, confident guy, didn't have that big guard up, thinking that a reporter's the enemy and one slip could sink his chances of the presidency. Nope, he knows he's got the job. And so if you saw that, let me know your thoughts, pro or con. We talked earlier today about a number of issues, about the bailouts for Detroit and Wall Street. Chuck Collins was with us, and he argued for a bottom-up approach. Instead of giving $25 billion to Detroit, spread it around a little bit. Maybe give you and me a $500 voucher, good toward the purchase of a new Detroit-made automobile that gets more than, say, 35 miles to the gallon. And on the real estate side, Chuck Collins and I agree that you've got to deal with the problem mortgages, or we won't find the bottom of the real estate equity market. And the money we throw at it is just a patch, a Band-Aid, that will soon be irrelevant. And we also talked about the shifting schemes of the bailout. Nobody really knows what Henry Paulson is up to, and I give Bernie Sanders and a Neanderthal Republican, James Inhofe, credit for saying, time out here, guys. No more bailout money until we know what the hell you're doing with it and until the oversight plan gets implemented. And I think that, you know, could cause concerns in the market. There are a lot of people saying, oh, you can't shake up the market. Well, hell, the market went down another 223 points today. And I think the market will respond when people feel that the situation is stable and predictable. And it's not going to be stable and it's not going to be predictable as long as the mortgage crisis element of this remains unaddressed. Now, I'd also like to hear your thoughts about bailing out Detroit. Because I'm really conflicted. On the one hand, I recognize the dire straits that Detroit has navigated into. And I believe it's their fault. And according to the rules of capitalism, we should not intervene. We should allow General Motors or any other automaker to go into bankruptcy, to be broken up into profitable and unprofitable units. And what would survive would be a smaller company, no doubt about it. But it would be a company that's market-based. And so let's say we give General Motors $25 billion, even if we put some strings on it, saying you got to use this money to develop fuel-efficient or hybrid cars. They say thank you very much. They continue to pay their executives $14 million a year. They even give them bonuses for doing such a fabulous job of driving this company right into the center divide. And then who do we put in there? And part of this, last week we talked to Jeff Madrick, whose book is about the beauty of big government. And we are so programmed now to be suspicious of government and its ability to do anything successfully. And having watched the Bushies, blow the war, blow FEMA and Katrina, and now blow this economic situation, it underscores the propaganda that government can't do anything right. All right. On the other hand, I have to ask the question, who's going to come out of the government to run General Motors? When we give Rick Wagoner the keys to a Cadillac and say, drive it away and don't come back, Rick, who are we going to recruit to put in there? And at what point does the government say, okay, we've done a good job, we can take the training wheels off, and maybe they sell stock to the public and reconstitute it as a public company? But there's so many unknowns here, And Congress will come back into session. They're meeting in Washington, but the formal sessions, I believe, will start on Wednesday. And it will be very interesting to see if the Sanders-Inhofe play does essentially freeze the second installment, the second $350 billion. And if so, what the terms of that are and how the money can be accessed if certain goals are met. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about that. My switchboard is wide open. Don't be shy. If you call in right now, it'll be a short wait on hold, and we'll get to hear your thoughts. You know the number, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Also on our program today, we talked about a powerful report issued today by the law school at UC Berkeley. It's called Guantanamo and its Aftermath, and you can find it at the website of the San Francisco Chronicle, which is sfgate.com, and just do a search for, like, Berkeley and Guantanamo, and you should be able to find the report. There are many powerful anecdotes in here, and the anecdotes are unattributed. They interviewed more than 60 people who had spent time at Guantanamo as prisoners. And they do not name these individuals. Anonymity was guaranteed so that they would speak honestly. So one prisoner at Guantanamo offered this anecdote. He was a young Arab prisoner, and he was with me in the same cell block. He seemed to be 17, maybe 18 years old. And one day, he refused to go to the interrogation room. He told the guard, "I have been arrested when I am innocent. They have arrested me illegally. And why are they just asking me questions?" After that, about 10 soldiers with armored clothes appeared. They went to his cell and started beating that boy. And I saw myself that blood was coming out of his cell. So we saw that the boy was put on a stretcher and he was tied around his waist. He couldn't move. He was just chained and tied up. Then he was taken to the hospital. And after that, a lot of the prisoners went on a hunger strike. I didn't participate in the hunger strike, but I didn't eat anything because I was sad. I never saw that boy again. No one saw him again. And they were shouting through loudspeakers that he was okay. Eat your food. He's fine. All the prisoners were very angry, and they were kicking the walls and shouting. The soldiers would stand in the corner of the hall. They would not come in the middle of the hall. Here's another one. I was left in interrogation for 8 hours at a time, shackled, music playing, air conditioning blowing. This happened continuously for 3 months. This type of treatment would provoke a strike. It wouldn't be a hunger strike. It would be a non-cooperation strike. I mean, the whole block wouldn't speak during interrogation sessions. Then they would forcefully take you into interrogation. Your facial hair would be shaved off. Your head hair would be shaved off. And this would be filmed on camera. So depending on what kind of treatment you got, you would spark a different kind of strike. And so the stories go on and on. And these individuals were humiliated, were treated to detailed, trivial mind games on a daily basis. And so I'm pleased that on Sunday night, on 60 Minutes, Barack Obama reiterated his commitment to close Guantanamo. I really think that's important, and it's one of the things that I'm counting on Obama to do. It's the change I believed in. But now they have to figure out what to do with the mess that Bush and his legal beagles created there. And one of the ideas that's controversial is one that I do not support. It's the idea of creating a parallel court system. Not the military commissions or tribunals, but a court system maybe called National Security Court. And one of the theories here is that we need to provide a mechanism for preventive detention. And I oppose preventive detention unless an individual has been charged and there is sufficient probable cause to do so. Anything less will undermine our system of justice, and ultimately it leads to a decline in the perception of the United States as a country with a good criminal justice system. And so Ken Goode, who is a scholar at the Center for American Progress, said, well, whether the administration, the Obama team, should push for a preventive detention law has inspired a very hot and serious debate. I've had conversations with progressives who think it's a good idea, and conservatives who think it's a terrible idea. Well, I am not persuaded that we need preventive detention. I think our system is sufficient. And if you want to pass a law, like Britain has, that says that terrorism suspects can be held, I think in Britain now it's 30 or 45 days, without being charged, I could probably live with that as a compromise. What I want is an end to the unlimited detention without charge. It is unconstitutional, it's immoral, and it's subhuman. And I hope that you'll go to the Chronicle website, sfgate.com, and read this report. It's 136 pages. You may not have time for it all, but scroll through it. And I think you will be alarmed at the barbaric behavior condoned and promoted by the Bush administration. And I hope you will be motivated, like me, to work to change this and to put our country back in compliance with treaties, international law, and our own constitutional standards. Time for a break, then we go to your calls. Lines open for you, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Robbins Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robbins Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robbins Jewelry in Carmel.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather. Right now on Route 12 at Castroville Boulevard, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is currently on the scene. All other roads and freeways right now are looking pretty clear in the Monterey, Salinas, and Gilroy area, so I hope you have a great commute. And weather, we've had the most beautiful day today. Tonight we expect it to be mostly clear this evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Right now in Monterey it's 70 degrees, Salinas is 75, Santa Cruz is 75, and Gilroy is also looking good at 75. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great evening and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Anybody heard from Jake? It's the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. We used to get regular calls from Jake in Eureka. Missing you, Jake. Check in if you're out there. 888-5 Peter B.
Shake it upside down. And every thinking bum should wear a crown.
Are you ready for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? Do you think it's a great idea or a bad pick? Tell me why. 888-5 Peter B. That's our number. Steve and Salinas, thanks for calling the Free Speech Zone.
Hello, Peter.
I'm going to sneeze. Maybe
hey,
not. Go ahead, Steve.
How are you?
I'm about to sneeze, but otherwise I'm fine.
Okay. Hey, earlier today you mentioned something about a deal I had read about a couple of weeks ago, maybe 10 days or 2 weeks ago, about, is it Bernanke and the $2 trillion, and I'm going to...
It's okay. I mentioned it earlier today. This comes in a report from Bloomberg News that since this crisis developed, you know, we bailed out, we didn't bail out Lehman Brothers, and then we bailed out AIG, and some of the bailout money has been publicly disclosed. But according to Bloomberg, there is up to $2 trillion that has been either given out or loaned out by Chairman Bernanke, and he is resisting requests to disclose that information.
Well, the whole country is talking about $700 billion versus $2 trillion. And why aren't we getting more reporting about this story? I mean, it's just very few people even know about it, and it just seems to be like a mega story that nobody's doing anything on.
Well, the corporate media doesn't do a very good job on financial reporting to begin with. Number two, the interests of the corporate media networks are in many ways tied to Wall Street. NBC has the CNBC channel, which is 24/7 cheerleading for greed, and Fox has its startup Fox Business Channel.
Right.
And CNN has Lou Dobbs.
He's never seen a camera he doesn't like. I love the way he just kind of, his smirking into the camera is just driving me crazy.
Yeah, he's a smug SOB and he loves it.
but this should be headlines.
Well, you're right. You're right. And also, I believe that every Democrat in particular who voted for the bailout, even if they got loads of pork to change their vote from Monday to Friday in the House, should stand up and say, you know what? I was snookered. And that's what, Senator Inhofe and Senator Sanders are doing. I don't believe either one of them voted for the bailout package. But they're now standing up and saying, enough. I will not sit idly by and watch them squander this money when they don't have a plan. And if they do, they don't tell us what it is, and then they change it. And so we need full oversight. We need accountability. And I am not persuaded that the $350 billion or less that's been disbursed so far has had any real impact. But, of course, they've got us under the gun where they're saying, well, the market didn't totally melt down, did it? And we're left saying, well, no, but we don't know if it would anyway. You know, you can't predict these things. And
I
go ahead.
I really think that we're getting at a point where the media, per se, I don't know what the dynamics of it is, because the newspapers are losing money every day, day after day. I mean, they're becoming a dinosaur now. And all of a sudden, we're going through a phase in our history here about, you know, the reporting. Blogging's fine, but, you know, how much money does a blogger have behind him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And where's the oversight going to come from if we don't have the finances for people to delve into situations like should be a front-page story? You know, are we going to get into a phase here where there's going to be it's a transition period here from the print media, the electronic, you know, into the blogosphere, and it's not necessarily good for our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your comment, and I think you're right on. We'll take more calls as we continue in the Free Speech Zone. This just in from Palin country. Mark Begich leads Senator Ted Stevens now by 1,022 votes. There are 25,000 left to count.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so, it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays,
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We're going.
Tom Hartman.
We have an economy in the United States right now that is being held together by spit and glue and rubber bands.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And basically the glue and the rubber bands, the spit arguably is just hype that everything's going to be okay. And the glue and the rubber bands are debt. We have a debt-based economy and war. The manufacturing of weapons of mass destruction. Weapons of death.
Tom Hartman. Live every morning 9 to noon on KRXA 540. Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're halfway through the free speech zone today. Grab a line and let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. What do you think about Secretary of State Hillary Clinton? Should Obama keep Bob Gates on as Secretary of Defense, a Republican in his cabinet? And what do we do if we close Gitmo? Do we need a preventive detention scheme? Those are all up for grabs at 888-5-PETER-B. Or you can introduce a subject of your own. I'm open to it. I want you to listen to this spoof tune from Capital Steps. It's about Bubba, but could it also be about Barack?
I read a letter in the post and they said I'm way off track. I once was liberal, now I'm boasting. I'm gonna start drifting back.
And now he's gonna
return to center. Viewpoint unknown. No more healthcare. No ozone. Bill's really sorry. He raised your tax. My mama told me once, stop talking, just play your sax. To Bob Dole and Pat Buchanan, I shuffled to the right. This is the era of the man, and I'm middle-aged male and white.
And now he's gonna
return to gender. No, Mr. Sweet. Yeah, Mr. Macho. Eats raw meat. Yeah, I'm gonna flip, gonna flop. But ain't no way I'm gonna stop. Up on Wall Street, the financiers are giving me dirty looks. Cause I balance all my books in 9, 7, 12, 10 years. So am I gonna be a contender? How will the voters give this jock a very special one-way ticket destination? A little rock.
Well, it's a little dated, but you get the idea. Return to center? Is that where Barack Obama's headed? Let's talk to William in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show, William.
Hi, Peter. Hey, you know, speaking of NPR, there was a funny joke on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me that in keeping with the campaign promise to meet with recalcitrant world leaders, Barack Obama went to the White House and met with George Bush.
Uh-huh. Well, the other
condition was part of it.
Yeah, the other take on that was that Obama was seen palling around with known terrorists.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Sarah Palin's comment became true.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, we're working on the scheduling, but we're trying to get Bill Ayers to come on our program and tell us what it was like to be a target of the Republican invective in this campaign year.
Yeah, he's making the rounds. He's going to be on Terry Gross's show, and he was on Democracy Now! A day or two ago as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
Yeah. That interview with the professor from UC Berkeley.
Laurel Fletcher.
Yeah, that was really great, Peter.
Well, thank you.
Good work. Hard-hitting. That was great.
Well,
and,
I, I,
So I guess
couldn't quite understand why she was resisting me. I wasn't disagreeing with her findings. I simply have a difference on how we remedy the situation. And I've been commissioned out. If Lee Hamilton gets appointed to one more goddamn commission in this country, I'm going to puke right here on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, she's a professor, and they tend to be very cautious and sort of very they speak evenly.
Well, and process oriented.
Right, exactly.
She sees that process, and for me, if we start with a commission, we will never see an indictment of Rumsfeld, Addington, Haynes, and the others, Jeffrey Miller, who are directly responsible for the torture and detention policies.
Or and that brings up, how about John Hugh, who works at Bolt School of Law?
Good point.
He teaches there, so the two of them, they must occasionally cross paths at work. They're at this Bolt School of Law at UC Berkeley, and tensions must be a little tight there.
It's a big building.
And he's got his little hole in the wall that he lives in.
He's probably got a secret security entrance, too.
Yeah, I'll bet. And I mean, I remember Bernie Ward used to always talk about how the taxpayers' money was being wasted because John Hugh worked at Bolt School of Law, and he was stealing California taxpayer money.
Yeah.
By working there, in any case.
All right, William, thanks a lot for your call today.
You bet, Peter.
Always great to hear from you. Now to Ron in San Francisco. Hello, Ron. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. I was at the Green Festival this weekend, and boy, was it ever fantastic.
Sure was interesting. I was there on Saturday, and I did the best I could in 2 hours, but there was more to see.
Right. You know, it's pretty fantastic, all the solutions that are out there. Dr. Stamens talked about fertilizers from fungi, insecticides, and herbicides. It was pretty fantastic on that regard, but there's a lot of speakers who weren't there. The solar thermal folks, molten salt, melting salt with mirrors in the desert to generate clean electricity, that can be built to scale bigger than nukes. And if you go on Google that, you can check out more about it. It's pretty exciting. Also, the medical stuff, you know, the green medicine, I don't think has been talked about. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with oxygen and ozone and the discoveries of Otto Warburg in the 20s. Because, you know, when we take medicines, today's type of medicines, we excrete part of them to get in the water system, and they create dead zones, and we wind up reconsuming it.
Yeah,
well,
that's right. With
oxygen and ozone, with essential oils and things like this, we don't have that sort of issue.
Yeah, no, the wastewater treatment plants have shown that there is a lot of pharmaceutical and kind of natural components that pass through the body, go into our sewage system, and then get reprocessed at the wastewater treatment plant. And so, you know, we're all a little bit less depressed now because of the background levels of Prozac in our water supply.
But the thing that I want people to be aware of, this health care plan, if it doesn't include free enterprise, if it doesn't allow us to have the therapies they have in Germany, Russia, Spain, even Mexico, then we are going to be the lesser for it, because there are answers to the problems we have. And it has to do with a basic understanding of our physiology and the world we live in.
Now, let me hear you out here. What did you mean by free enterprise?
The state, American Medical Association, by the way, apparently young new doctors are not signing up. I guess 70% of them haven't signed up with the American Medical Association. But they are constrained and controlled through legislatures and lawyers as to what therapies can be. For instance, there's only 4 therapies you can have for cancer. You can have cutting, burning, or poisoning. And you can have temperature, thermal therapy. But there are other therapies that involve large amounts of oxygen, small amounts of ozone. They have a polyhemispheresis, where they run your blood through like an ozone it's an oxygen ozone dialysis. It purifies and it kills. It's the oxidative part of the antioxidative paradigm. You take antioxidants and you take oxidants. They work together to improve the functioning of the system, the digestive, the nervous, and the immune system. And you take all these dark green phytochemicals in foods, and then you take the oxygen and ozone. Mm-hmm. And virtually any pathogen, any virus, bacteria, fungi or even prions are affected by this natural therapy. This is how the body works. It's how the environment works, and we need to get in touch with it instead of poisoning the soils and poisoning our bodies.
Well, yeah, and there certainly is a whole world out there beyond pharmaceuticals. I'm not anti-pharmaceutical, but to the extent that they control research, development, and testing and can exclude all kinds of non-traditional and non-Western medicine is ridiculous. We need to be open to any practical solution to medical issues that we face, and we need to come up with.
Pharmaceutical corporations fund a lot of our educational institutions, and allegedly Stanford has refused to take money from these big corporations any longer. And I can only hope that intelligent folks there will say, "Hey, we're committed to doing no harm, and we're going to look at these therapies that Otto Warburg allegedly he discovered that all cancers need four conditions in which to exist: a low oxygen content in the cell, low enzyme content in the cell, an acid pH, and a low electrical potential between the cell membranes." And he knew that in the 20s. And if you know that much about cancer in the 20s, why aren't we remediating it through oxygen, ozone, increasing the pH of the cells, the enzymes in live foods, all these kind of things?
All right, Ron, I appreciate your call. I learned something from you. Thanks for joining us.
All right.
All right, I appreciate that. Now to line three, it's David in San Francisco. Hi, David, you're on the air.
Hey, greetings, Peter. Listening to that last fellow talking about Greenfest, I buzzed by there for a few minutes, but on another schedule, I see you're listed for being at LaborTech, in about a month, right? Short of a month.
I got a notice about that. I haven't responded yet, but I'll show up.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, I caught you a couple of years ago over there, and I'll be doing videotaping of it.
Uh-huh, good.
Hey, I was interested in, are you familiar with the company Cerberus?
Cerberus is the capital company that took Chrysler away from Daimler with $7.8 billion in ransom.
Right, right. And what makes it extra influential is Daddy Bush is instrumental in that, as well as David Stockman, as I understand it, was an early investor in it.
Now, I knew about Stockman. I didn't know about Poppy. Is that through the whatchamacallit group?
Hello? Yeah, I believe Carlyle, or the Bush family has major holdings in Cerberus, or they did at one point.
Interesting.
And did you keep track of David Stockman's fraud trial that was going on this summer?
No, I didn't. I saw blurbs about it, but I didn't follow it.
Yeah, I read the indictment, and I'm trying to think if I caught a certain amount. The election year kind of kept me busy on other fronts, but essentially David Stockman has helped corner the market originally in all of the upholstery and interiors of all of the different big three automate manufacturers in Detroit. So essentially, you know, if people have forgotten who David Stockman is, he was the,
Bush's
brain. Yeah, he's Reagan's brain.
Yeah.
And so here's this jerk that corners the market on all of the auto interiors in Detroit. Then he uses fraud and manipulation and strong-arm tactics and any number of different criminal enterprises to essentially force the big three to live up to his monopoly. And then when the big three didn't want to deal with him anymore and they outsourced the jobs, you know, David Stockman, the big brain of Ronald Reagan, ends up owning the upholstery manufacturing for the big three, and then they decide not to use the upholstery and go to outsource it. So, you know, he is then left, holding the bag for the losses when they jumped ship from those contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's only a part of it. As I understand it, he's involved in many more frauds up in there. But it was interesting that Michigan was in the political radar, and then all of a sudden they were going to lose their delegates, because if the popular press had gotten up into Michigan, they would have no doubt caught the David Stockman trial going on this summer. And I was always kind of intrigued by why the Michigan delegates were going to be, taken away in that way, just as the David Stockman trial was going on in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Yeah, that's I'm really opposed to the bailout of Detroit because of the Cerberus connection to the Bush family.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I'm going to investigate that. I hadn't seen the Carlyle Group investment there, so I'll look that up, and I appreciate you pointing it out to me, David.
Hey, no trouble. See you at Labor Tech.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for the call today. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, just to give you a warning, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to mention Barack Obama by his middle name from now on. Clinton. Barack Clinton Obama.
You got me, Joe.
Oh, I'm just warning you. Yeah. Speaking of another politician from the DLC that I just love, Joe Lieberman, just learned today he's going to keep his chairmanship for Homeland Security. So it's good to see that the Democrats are as they get that steel in their spine,
yeah,
as always, and they're not going to give in, and they're not power hungry or anything just because they got a few more votes in the Senate, and you know, and I just love the Democrats because of their ideals and their principles. I just want to see them keep it up. So.
You got me dead to rights here on this one, Joe. There's no defense for the Democrats caving to Joe Lieberman. He's a quisling. He's a traitor. His own words. Prove it. Get him out of here. We'll take a break and return. 888-5 Peter B connects you to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We've got a moving roadway hazard on County Road G17, just south of Davis Road, heading towards Highway 68. A truck is towing a large white trailer, and a chain is dangling and sparking, so use caution there. Taking a look at Santa Cruz on northbound Highway 1, just north of Park Avenue, we have a two-vehicle collision, and CHP is currently on the scene. Now for some weather. We are having a pretty warm and beautiful evening tonight. Tonight is mostly clear. Tuesday will be mostly sunny. Highs are going to be in the lower 70s to mid-80s. Right now, King City is 75 degrees, Monterey is 73 degrees, and Salinas is 75 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Stay with KRXA and the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market in Delhi, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream with the Quantum Leap, 9 p.m. Saturday.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying.
This is Bob Oliver inviting you to participate in the Quantum Leap. Raise issues, ask questions. Together we find answers and solutions. And think for yourself on 540 AM, KRXA 540.
Behind
This one's for Joey Lieberman. That's Joseph Benedict Arnold Lieberman from Connecticut.
We've had some fun. Yes, we've had our ups and downs. Been down that rocky road. But here we are still around. We thought about someone else. Either one could debate. We thought about breaking up. Now we know it's much too late. We are back.
Come on, Dewey, get to the chorus, will you? Alright, I'm not happy, I'm just stuck with you. Karen is listening online in Sacramento. She emailed in on the Hillary for Secretary of State question. She said there are three strikes. One, she said obliterate Iran. You got that right, Karen. Two, she'll exaggerate. Remember the Bosnian sniper fire story? Yeah. Three, we wanted an anti-war candidate when Hillary voted for the war, and then Barack gives this position to Hillary? Karen says, Hillary for Supreme Court or Harry Reid's job or forget her, Trump. Am I allowed to say Trump on the radio? Better check with my lawyers on that. We go to Steve and Salinas. Hello, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about some of those other things she said. That's the reason I was calling is about Hillary. My biggest concern of two things. One, I think New York has a Republican governor, so she could be replaced by a Republican senator.
Nope. Patterson is a Democrat.
Oh, okay, good.
He has limited vision, but he is a Democrat.
Okay. And also, I would much rather see her take Harry Reid's spot and put Harry Reid to the back of the class someplace.
Not going to happen. Not based on the rules of the Senate. So that's the
disappointment. How come?
Well, because she doesn't have enough seniority.
If there are enough senators who want to get rid of Harry Reid, might that do it?
Well, they would put Dick Durbin in.
That'd be better than Harry Reid.
I agree. You won't get any guff back from me on that.
They need a spine. Those Democrats just need us. They just lost all respect for the whole party, pretty much. You know, there are a few that I can still respect, but not very many.
Well, it's difficult, and, you know, this bailout presents another layer of challenge for thinking people.
Well,
and we've seen our leaders, like Lemmings, respond to the hyped crisis that's presented, throwing money at the problem without really thinking it through. We do need new leadership, and I don't necessarily believe that Senator Clinton is the right person to lead the Senate. But I do agree with you that Harry Reid is lame and that Dick Durbin is a smarter, more aggressive guy. He's number two, so he would be the likely person to succeed Harry Reid. But I don't see that in the offing. You know, one of the other moves that really troubles me is that Jay Rockefeller is willing to step aside and let Dianne Feinstein chair the Intelligence Committee. Now, she sold us out on our Fourth Amendment rights over the NSA domestic spying before she even knew the particulars of the program. She was rushing to paper it over with legislation saying, well, just pretend you went to the FISA court, okay?
Yes.
And so for her to chair intelligence is really a step backward.
The Democrats have to learn they've got to, I don't know, just, oh, well. Do what we can do.
All right, Steve.
Thanks a whole bunch.
Yep, thank you for the call. Tomorrow, if you're up early and you're looking for a radio program, I will be sitting in on Air America all this week from 6 to 9 Pacific time. That's 9 to noon Eastern on The Lionel Show. And we'll be there every day this week. So I hope you'll tune in and check that out. If you're so inclined, you can catch the stream at airamerica.com. That's airamerica.com. And a friend of this program, investigative reporter Larissa Alexandrovna, has a new story that's up at rawstory.com today. And it shows something we've suspected, that Jack Abramoff had a direct covert pipeline to Karl Rove's office at the White House. We knew the sketches of this before, But now an email has surfaced that confirms our suspicions. Karl Rove moved into the White House and almost immediately hired Susan Ralston as a special assistant to the president and Karl Rove. Susan Ralston came to the White House from the employ of Jack Abramoff. And the email is from early in the Bush administration, February of 2001. Abramoff reprimands a colleague who had asked him to use Susan Ralston and her connections to Rove to arrange a meeting with President Bush for one of his clients. And in response, Abramoff reveals the setup that he has. And he kind of reprimands his colleague, saying, this is not the proper way to go about this. He said, Susan is not going to be able to do things like this. We have an agreement with her as to what we're going to ask her and when. Now, this ties together with the case of Don Siegelman. Siegelman's opponent received millions of dollars in campaign contributions trying to defeat Don Siegelman in Alabama, and the money came from Jack Abramoff and the Indian gaming tribes who were his clients. We talked to Don Siegelman this morning on the Air America show I was hosting, and I invite you to go to donsiegelman.com. There are new developments there. We've learned that Laura Canary, the U.S. attorney who allegedly recused herself because her husband is a tight friend of Karl Rove's, worked with him on many campaigns, including the one that got the $9 million from Jack Abramoff. She didn't recuse herself. She remained very active in monitoring the case and guiding it along. And so that's just another little nick there that shows how justice was not available from the Justice Department under George W. Bush.
Happy trails to you.
Thanks for catching the Peter B. Collins Show live on the radio, streaming on your computer or in your earbuds from an iPod.
Happy trails to you.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I have made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. As Congress reconvenes for its lame duck session, the debate is all about U.S. automakers. Should they be saved from bankruptcy, and if so, how? CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
The Senate is struggling to find a way to help Detroit.
We can't let this happen. We can't let the American automobile industry implode.
Maryland Democrat Barbara Mikulski wants to offer incentives to car buyers. But Republican Kit Bond of Missouri warned there must be strict conditions on any money given directly to car makers.
I do not support a blank check from the government. I want to make sure we are not simply throwing good money after bad.
It's still not clear if Congress will be able to agree this week on any ways to support the auto industry. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank wants to tap the financial bailout fund for $25 billion, but says the car companies would have to pay interest on the money, and if they don't restructure for long-term viability, they'd have to give the money back. The Bush administration opposes use of the bailout fund, saying the money is already available in the form of Energy Department loans. Yahoo founder Jerry Yang will be stepping down as the company's chief executive after 17 tumultuous months at the helm. CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid.
Yahoo has had a very tough time in the last several months.
especially since it turned down a $44.6 billion offer from Microsoft. And Jerry Yang has been running this company, and now the company is in pretty serious trouble. Its stock is worth less than $15 billion, and they're not getting the kind of revenue that they need to get.
As soon as the company finds a replacement, Yang will revert to his former role as Chief Yahoo. Barack Obama and John McCain smiled and made small talk as the shutters clicked. Then reporters were ushered out of the president-elect's Chicago transition office while the two men had their first face-to-face talk since the election. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds reports.
A brief written statement afterwards said they had discussed the need to launch a new era of reform where we take on government waste and bitter partisanship in Washington. Areas of potential cooperation for